In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd like to begin today's homily with a little story from my personal life, a little story from when I was a young man in junior high, I believe. And in the summertime, we're just about to summer, it reminds me of this, in the summers in junior high, and I didn't have to have a job. Now, any of the kids here, if you have to have a job in junior high, don't complain or anything. It's fine if you have to job. Just that I didn't. I didn't have a job in the summers when I was in junior high. And so, one of those summer days, and I'm sure it happened a number of times, but one time in particular I'm thinking of, I decided, you know, I don't want to just be lazy all day. I want to be productive. I want to do something to show my parents just how much I love them and appreciate them. And in a particular way, I wanted to show this to my father, you know. The son likes to please his father. So I wanted to show my father that I loved him and that I wanted to be obedient to him, not just play video games all summer. So I decided, well, I know what I'll do. I'll clean up a little bit in the basement, do a little bit of work there, tidy things up. I'll clean up my room. You parents know how nice it is when you see a junior high kid or high school kid's room and he's got it all nice and clean or she's got it all nice and tidy. Feels good. Parents love seeing that, of course. So I said, okay, I'll tidy up the basement, clean my room. The other big thing I said was, I'll tidy up the garage a little bit, you know, do some work in the garage. We used to be really big into road biking, my family. We're mountain biking too, but most especially road biking. I mean, we even did like the spandex and everything, all that stuff. We're really into it. Big time, big time, big time. Not anymore, don't worry. You'll not see me in spandex anymore around the streets or something like that. You won't see that. But I used to be really into it. My dad still is. Up to this very day, I've never beat him in a race. Never beat him in a race. I just can't do it. It's not possible. He's too good. So, we're big into the road biking. So I tidied up all that road biking gear, the helmets and the shoes, all that stuff. Okay, fine and good. So then I wait. My dad's coming home after work that evening. And as he's driving up into the driveway, coming up to the garage, he did not notice that I had cleaned up the basement. He didn't notice I had arranged my room, got it all nice and tidy and clean. And as he was driving up, he didn't even notice that I had set all the biking equipment away and got the garage tidied up and organized. But I'll tell you what he did notice. What he noticed was that the grass, as he drove up to the garage, he noticed that the grass was about 6 inches high, about 6 inches long, really long. And I remembered, oh yeah, that's right. The one thing he asked me to do as he was leaving the house that morning, could you please mow the lawn? That's what he wanted. Shoot. After all that, the one thing he had asked me to do, I didn't do. He had asked me to mow the lawn, and that was the one thing I did not do. So I thought, oh darn, that's too bad. Well, the point is this. It's wonderful that I tidied up the basement. It's great that I cleaned up the room and all of that. But the thing is, my dad hadn't asked me to do all those things. He'd asked me to do one thing in particular, and that was to mow the lawn. And so if I want to love and obey my father, I have to love and obey him in the way that he desires to be loved and obeyed. I don't get to love and obey him when I want to, or in the way I want to, as I want to, how I want to. But rather, I love him when he wants me to, as he wants me to, and I obey him in the things he wants me to obey him. That's what love and obedience is. I can't be loving and obedient. A son cannot be loving and obedient on his own terms. It has to be on his father's terms, his parents' terms. So it's good as far as it went, very good as far as it went, but the very things he had asked me to do, I had failed to do. Now take that now, and one other example, married life, right? Many of you would know this from married life, couples out there. So we'll just take it from the man's perspective. We could do both, but I'll be safe today and just take it from the man's perspective. So say a man wants to show his wife just how much he loves her and how much he appreciates her. So he decides that he's going to make a nice big addition onto the garage. Wonderful, right? Put in a ton of work and make this huge addition in the garage. That's really good. It's wonderful. It's great. So she comes home and she sees and he says, "Look, honey, here's this huge addition I've started all for you." And she says, "Thanks, sweetie. Thank you, dear. That's really wonderful. But you know, that sink in the kitchen, the faucet, is still leaking. It's still leaking. It's been 2 months. And I just asked you to do this one thing. Could you please just fix the leaking faucet?" Wonderful that you want to add the addition onto the garage. That's great. What I'd really, really love is to just have that faucet fixed. You know, we've all had things like that. If we want to love a spouse, if we want to love a parent or a friend, if we want to love any person, we have to love them on their terms, when they want it, as they want it. Now, if this is true for other human beings, how much more is it true of God? Right? We have to love God not on my terms, but on His terms. Not when I feel like it or in the way I feel like it, but when God wants me to, as God wants me to, in the ways He wants me to. That's how love is with anyone. Jesus is a real person. We have to get that in our heads. He's a real person. In fact, more a person than any of us, because He's a divine person. He's a real person, and if you have love for any real person, you have to love them on their own terms. So if we love Jesus, we have to love Him in the way that He desires to be loved. So now we come to today's gospel. Today, twice in the gospel, at the beginning and the end, He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments." And at the end, He said, "Whoever loves me will keep my commandments." So if I want to love the Lord, I have to love Him in the way He wants me to, which is by following the commandments. I can't love Him on my own terms, but on His terms. So I want to address an issue that's comes up fairly often these days. It's not something I'm sure no one here struggles with it, but you'll hear it out in the world quite a bit. And since in today's second reading, St. Peter says, be ready to give a reason for our faith, a reason for our hope, of course, in gentleness and reverence, I want to just give a little response to this common idea. This is the idea out there. You'll hear it a lot. People will say, "I'm spiritual, but not religious," right? I'm a spiritual person. I love God. I'm just not religious. I don't buy into this whole organized religion thing. Now, what do we say to that? We say, well, now, if you love God, if I love God, I have to love Him on His terms. And so if I don't keep His commandments, then I don't really love Him. Or if I only love Him in the way that I feel like expressing my love, then really it's just self-love. I'm just loving myself, not God. So some people will say, well, I find that it's easier to pray when I'm out in the wilderness, out in the country. That's where I can express my love for God. You know, I express my love for God, or I find Him out there in the great wide open. What do we say? Well, I say, well, that's great. Wonderful. I'm glad you find Him out there. That's really, really good. So go ahead and take a vacation day on Monday and go out into the wilderness and worship God out there. That's really good. But on Sunday, He didn't ask us to worship Him out in the wilderness. He asked us to come to church. Of course, Saturday night counts too. He asked us to come to church. I don't get to choose when or where I love God. He chooses when. He chooses where. He chooses how. So I have to love him as he desires, when he desires, in the way he desires, and simply because he desires it. If I love him, I'll keep his commandments. Today's gospel is from the 14th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John. Now we're in the very final moments of Jesus' life on earth. This is his last discourse which he gives to his disciples on the night he was betrayed. It's his last words to his disciples. And what does he say? If you love me, keep my commandments. He's about to leave us. He's about to be crucified. If you love me, he says, keep my commandments. Some of the last things that Jesus says. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, we sometimes today, and this is even within the Catholic Church, we sometimes can get a mistaken notion about law and love. This idea that somehow law and love are mutually exclusive or opposed one to the other. So that if I have the law, if I keep the law, if I'm really strict about the law, then I don't have any love. Or on the other hand, if I have a lot of love, then I don't need the law. I can forget about the law. But that's not how Jesus saw it. That's not what he taught us. He says that law and love are intimately united. That they're bound one to the other. If you love me, keep my law, he says. Keep my commandments, my law. If you love me, keep my commandments. It's not enough just to say we love him. We can't just stand up at an altar call and say, I accept him as my personal Lord and Savior. Fine and good, as far as it goes, but it doesn't go very far. If it's true love, it has to be expressed in actions. If we love him, we have to keep his law. So a word about the union of law and love, a little analogy that might help us to understand how Christ sees law and love so closely bound one to the other. I want you to consider the human person for a moment. The human person, the body and the soul. The body and the soul intimately united one to the other. But what would the body be without the soul? Well, without the soul, the body would be lifeless. It would just be lying there on the ground like a rock. It couldn't do anything. It's just a burden there. But with the soul in the body now has life, and it moves around, and it grows, and it reproduces, and so forth. And so the soul vivifies the body. It gives life to the body. And it's the same thing with law and love, the same way. Law without love would be a heavy burden, and it would not give life. Law without love would be slavery. It'd be this blind obedience, a heavy burden, and true slavery. But Jesus does not want us to be slaves. He wants us to be sons and daughters. He wants us to be friends. And so love enters in and vivifies the law. Love doesn't cast out the law. Love makes the law to live and to give life. Love makes the law to not be so heavy a burden. Of course, sometimes the commandments require sacrifice. Yes, sometimes it is hard. But if we have love of God in our hearts, then that sacrifice is easier to bear. If we think of how much he gave for us and how much he has loved us, we're inspired to love him in return and to give everything for him in return, to follow his commandments in return. So our love of Jesus and his love for us makes the law sweet. It even makes the sacrifices lighter and gives us joy. Remember, Jesus gave everything for you. He gave everything for you. And from you, he expects everything in return. He gave everything for you, and from you, he expects everything in return. Now, the Lord knew that it would be hard. He knew that it would require sacrifice at times. But he doesn't leave us as orphans. He doesn't abandon us. He's not just way up there looking down saying, come on, try harder. No, he's not like that at all. He comes right in and joins us and gives us strength. And what did he say in the very center of today's gospel? This is what he talks about. He says, just ask. I'll send you the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the Consoler, the Spirit of Truth. He'll strengthen you when you're weak. He'll give you light in the midst of darkness. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of joy and of consolation. When the Holy Spirit dwells within us, the Father and the Son are within us. And we're strengthened by their love. The Holy Spirit makes the law sweet, no longer a burden. The Holy Spirit gives us joy. By the Holy Spirit, we're able to persevere. It's not hard anymore. It's not difficult. We can do it because Jesus is with us. Yes, it might be the cross. It might be the cross. But Jesus carried the cross for me. I can carry the cross for Jesus. And so long as I'm on the cross, I'm there with Jesus, who loves me, whom I love. He says, just ask and I'll send you the Spirit. He'll give you strength. You don't have to do it alone. Now, traditionally, this Thursday is the Feast of the Ascension, Ascension of our Lord into heaven. In the United States, we celebrate it on Sunday so that it's easier for people to get to Mass. But we know that it really happened on a Thursday, right? The Bible says 40 days, so you can count out the days. So we know it really happened this Thursday. That's when it really did happen. Now, the reason it's important to think about the Ascension here is because there are 9 days between the Ascension and Pentecost, okay? 9 days. And that's the first novena, the great novena. 9 days of prayer from Friday through to the following Saturday, okay? Those 9 days, Friday through to the following Saturday, is 9 days of prayer, a 9-day novena to the Holy Spirit. This is the only novena which the Church officially asks us to pray. There's lots of novenas that are really good and have the blessing of the Church, but this is the only novena that the Church officially wants us to pray, that she has officially given to us, saying, please pray this from Friday through till the next Saturday. The novena to the Holy Spirit, asking the Holy Spirit to come into our souls, asking the Holy Spirit to give us strength and light, to make the law sweet, to make the burden easier to bear, to give us joy and consolation and peace. So there is the official novena to the Holy Spirit, and you could find that online. EWTN website has it. On the other hand, you could also say like the litany to the Holy Spirit. Great prayer as well, wonderful. But some of us, we might not be familiar with the novena, or we might not be familiar with the litany. So we say, well, Father, I don't have that. Maybe it's hard to go online, whatever, okay. What could you do? Something simpler, something easy. Well, I say we could also just do exactly what the apostles did. What did they do? What did they do after the Ascension? When the Lord had gone back up into heaven and they were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come, what did they do? Take a look at the end of Acts chapter 1. Take a look. It's right there in the Bible. They went to Mary. They ran to Mary and they waited with her for those 9 days. They waited for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. And we can do exactly what they did. For these 9 days, from Friday through till the next Saturday, we could pray the rosary every day with a real special, special focus, asking the Lord to send the Holy Spirit into our hearts, into our homes. At least some portion of the rosary. You know, something's better than nothing. Maybe the whole rosary is too much for us still, but at least something. Some portion of the rosary. And together with Mary, look for the Holy Spirit to come, strengthen us. Staying close to her, the Holy Spirit will vivify our own souls. And then the law will not be so heavy a burden. The commandments of God will be sweet, and strengthened by this spirit of joy and peace, we will persevere in loving the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.